What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Yes, your life. Well, Rocket can. Shelby Harris from the Seattle Seahawks is going to be stopping by 20 minutes from now. The Seahawks this weekend, they're above 500 at 4-3. They play the only other above 500 matchup this weekend between two teams. It is the Seahawks at 4-3 and the New York Football Giants in at 6-1. Giants Seahawks this weekend at the 12th man. Shelby Harris, who was a part of that Russell Wilson trade, will be joining us in about 20 minutes from now. I just saw a stat from our friends at CBS Sports, and we'll share it with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Baltimore Ravens are the 8th team to hold a 10-plus point lead in each of their first 7 game of the season since 2000. What do you think the record is? How many of those teams do you think were 7-0 is the way that I'm going to ask this? Out of the other 7 teams that had a 10-plus point lead in each of their first 7 games of the season. So how many of the other 7 teams were 7-0 is the way that I'm wording this in a complex way?
I will say 4 out of 7. 5 out of 7. 6 out of 7.
Wrong.
7 out of 7?
Yep. The other 7 teams are all 7-0. The Baltimore Ravens are 4-3. The Ravens got to be the most confusing team in the league. Because in a year that is so open, when you have Kansas City playing really well, Buffalo being great at 5-1, the Eagles being great at 6-0, we're all looking for who the fourth team is. Chargers haven't looked all that hot. The Tennessee Titans have Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. Kirk Cousins is the QB of the Vikings. Like, he's good, just not great. Green Bay struggling. They're on the verge of going to 3-5 this weekend. Tampa, who plays the Ravens tonight, they're struggling at 3-4. The Rams' offensive line has been horrendous. The 49ers have all this talent, but they're below 500. Giants are 6-1. No one looks, though, at the Giants as a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl this year, but 6-1's are an incredible achievement for them. The Cowboys, they have 2 losses on the year. I think they're 5-2, but we're all waiting to see when the Dallas Cowboys are going to go back to being the Dallas drama choking Cowboys. So this is so open. And the Ravens should be in the same conversation as Kansas City and Buffalo this year. Because you look at them, the way that they played, worst case scenario, all right, maybe you blow one of those games. Man, maybe one. And you're 5-1. To be sitting there at 4-3, or 6-1, I should say. To be sitting there at 4-3, though, is crazy. Right? Bare minimum, Ryan. Shouldn't this be a 6-1 football team, you would think?
Yes. I mean, bare minimum, yeah. I mean,
you look at the 3 losses. They blew a 20-10 lead in the fourth quarter to the Giants. They blew a 35-14 point lead in the fourth quarter against the Dolphins. Then they blew against Buffalo. They're up 20-3. Hey, you tell me they blow the game against Buffalo. It's Josh Allen. You lose 23-20. All right, I could see it. 35-14 in the fourth bleeping quarter? 20-10? I know it's not insurmountable, but in the fourth quarter against the Giants? I know they're 6-1 now, but that's inconceivable. And can they get to a spot where you really do believe in them at the end of the year? Sure, I guess. But until they show you that they can consistently close out games against some of the better teams in the league, it's tough for me to really buy into them. And it's a shame because you look at Lamar Jackson, he's a top 10 player in the NFL. He's phenomenal. And is some of it on him? Sure, but they're asking him to basically be the entire offense. And defensively with the lead, that team just forgets how to play. It's really astonishing how the Baltimore Ravens are at this point where they had 10-point leads in every game. Every game this year. And you only have a 4-3 record.
And a lot of that's been on the defense, right? But also, like, Lamar's not without fault. Like, he had two awful turnovers late against the Giants that helped give them good field position to win.
Fair.
You know, you can get on John Harbaugh. So I agree with it, but I know there's a lot of disagreement with his decision on fourth down and goal against the Buffalo Bills, where he could take a field goal, taking the lead. He said, no, I'm going for the touchdown. And then the Bills drove down the field,
yeah,
you know,
like
late
that.
In the game. Like, there is, it's like, if it was just the defense, okay. Like, not that it makes sense, because you're right, it's historic what we're seeing, but they stink fine. It's like everyone's contributing right now to these losses.
And it's not as if they really made you feel all that better about them against Cleveland last week. They could have had that game go to overtime.
I mean, Cade York was lining up before a penalty for a 55-yard field goal.
Which could have been a very questionable penalty.
Absolutely.
A little fugazi, as the kids would say.
So, I mean, again, you're right. Like, it's a bad Browns team, and they're kind of taking them to the brink. It's like, what are you doing?
Now, here's where they do have working in their favor. You would think on paper. Tampa tonight, it's a tough game. I think this is a flip of the coin type of game. Who do you lean with tonight, by the way?
I actually am going to go with the Ravens tonight.
You are?
Yes. I don't feel great about it, but I don't like this Buccaneers offense right now.
You know, I woke up thinking the Ravens. And I'm not just saying this now because you went with Baltimore. Because
then, smart.
If I say the Ravens, it's just fade, 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 fade both of us. Brady back up against the wall. I know that offensive line has been miserable, but he's going up against a defense that's been soft this year. I know their offense has not played one good complete game this year. I'm not going to doubt the GOAT in this one. I don't think I'm going to walk away feeling all that better about the Buccaneers. I think this is a sloppy game. I think this is a field goal type of game. I'll just lean Tampa. But regardless of the outcome tonight, you win, you're 5-3. If you lose, you're 4-4. They'll be able to stack wins now because their schedule the next few weeks, you get the Saints. You have that bye week. You got Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, Pittsburgh. And then you get the Browns. Now, they will have Deshaun Watson back by then. Those next 6 weeks, it's a very soft schedule after tonight with Tampa Bay. When you have teams, really the rest of the way, I don't know if there's a situation where they can win you over. Unless they just start blowing out teams and not blowing these leads. Because other than tonight, the Ravens schedule the rest of the way. I'll give it to you one more time. Saints in New Orleans, bye week, home against Carolina, in Jacksonville, home against Denver, in Pittsburgh, in Cleveland, Atlanta, home game for the Ravens, home against Pittsburgh, and at the Bengals. It feels like this is shaping up. Bengals-Ravens, January 8th, is going to determine who's going to win that division.
And there's the kind of the next show me game. Now that, like I said,
and the Ravens already have a game in hand against the Bengals. Remember, Tucker had the game winner,
right?
Going back to week 5,
you blow out Pittsburgh, you handle the Browns. Like, it could be okay. Like, they are different, but you're right. It's not going to really be until week 18. And who knows? Like, I mean, if the Ravens take care of business, which you think they should, that game might not even mean anything anyway.
Well, even if they ascend with the way that their schedule is, you then know what everyone's going to say going into the playoffs about the Ravens. Can Lamar get it done in the playoffs? Now, I've defended Lamar because I think it's crazy when a guy is now in his fifth year in the league for Lamar Jackson? I'm pretty sure, yeah, this is his fifth year in the league?
Yes.
It's his fifth year in the league, and how people are already saying the guy can't win when I know he has not won a ton of playoff games, right? He's won one playoff game, and that was against the comeback
Titans.
Against Tennessee, right? Yeah, where everyone was stomping on the logo after the game in Tennessee. And then the following week, I think that's when he threw the pick six against Teron Johnson for 100-something yards before getting knocked out of the game with the concussion. But regardless, I have always compared Lamar to Giannis in the narrative of Giannis early on. When a guy has exceeded expectations, won an MVP, we all find a way to try to knock him down and nitpick. And for Giannis, before he won the championship, it was, oh, he can't get the job done in the postseason. And that's the same thing for Lamar. We're 5 years, and not even fully 5 years into this guy's career. He didn't really play much of the first year until the second half of the season. And they got in the playoffs. They got blown out against the Chargers. Remember, the fans were chanting to put back in Joe Flacco. The next year, in his first year, he was unanimous MVP. And he made the playoffs every other year besides last year when the entire roster was hurt. And that team, if you recall, was cruising. With Lamar, he was looking like the MVP. They were the one seed. Then he gets hurt, and it all started to spiral out of control. So for the narrative to be about Lamar, can he get the job done in the postseason? Yeah, you ask that about everyone until they get the job done in the postseason. But I feel as if the postseason struggles have been a little bit picked up in intensity on Lamar compared to some other guys that have had success in this league that have not got the job done in the postseason. Because Lamar, not that he's been perfect in the regular season, but he's been so damn good in the regular season, and he's been to the playoffs a few times, that narrative does go out there of how do we question in just a society where we always doubt and wonder, well, he hasn't got it done in the postseason. He only has one postseason win. Can he get the job done? Can he get to a Super Bowl? I have no reason to believe that Lamar won't eventually play in a Super Bowl with how well he's played in the regular season, and it may just be a matter of time. But it is wild how this year, and I go back to the stat of that CBS posted that we just talked about, the Ravens are the eighth team to hold a 10-plus point lead in each of their first seven games of the season since 2000. The other seven teams are all 7-0, and the Ravens are 4-3. To be 4-3, even if the Ravens do just go on this stretch down, you know, down the next 2 months, you wonder that in a big game against elite competition, like, let's say Buffalo, let's say Kansas City, they're going to be able to hold the lead. And I don't know, to me, are you more surprised the Ravens are 4-3 or that those other seven teams are all 7-0? Since 2000, you have 10-plus point lead in each of your first seven-game season. Not another team that had that out of the seven didn't blow one game? Like, not one game? That's kind of nuts when you think about it from both ways.
Especially when you put the caveat of since 2000, where really kind of offenses did take in, you know, uptick in passing and scoring, that, yeah, I'm surprised that they're 7-0, all seven of them, compared, or six of them, compared to the Ravens being 4-3.
Did you see the latest, by the way, with Lamar's opponent tonight, Tom Brady, the ultimatum that has been reported on, according, I forget where it was said, but a source close to the Brady-Giselle family. Report, it could be a friend, family member, who knows. It was
Giselle herself, maybe.
Yeah.
Very close to the situation.
It was an anonymous source, but that anonymous source supposedly said that Giselle is trying to rekindle the relationship and gave Tom the ultimatum: it's either me or it's football. That's kind of been the case for the last 10 years. Not maybe directly the ultimatum, but she's been trying to get him to retire for the last 10 years. I remember when he was 35, then it was 40, then it's 45. And now he's talking about like playing a 50 and he's not retiring anytime soon. I would have to imagine that Giselle, this is just a guess, who knows, that Giselle's not expecting him to retire tomorrow. But I think the ultimatum, Ryan, is probably more so you're done at the end of the season and actually done and not start this crap again. Oh, you retire, then, oh, honey, oh, babe, please let me go back and play football. That you're actually done at the end of the season, regardless of what happens, or I'm out, I'm done. File the divorce papers.
Right. I don't think this is ultimately like, hey, retire tomorrow after this game or else I'm out of here.
That would be a real jerk move by Giselle if she wanted him to retire in. Like, you could want it, but to demand him to retire in season, that's a little bit too much.
It's going to be fascinating to have a little Brady watch this offseason, that's for sure.
If you're Brady, though, and I know your first love was football, but you clearly do love Giselle. She's your wife. You married her. Supermodel. You have kids with her. If she's giving you this chance to save the marriage and she's making you give up football, dude, just retire. You've won seven Super Bowls. I don't care how this year finishes. You're the greatest ever at the quarterback position. Some may say the greatest football player ever, the most accomplished football player ever. You're easily a first ballot Hall of Famer. Everyone's going to remember you for the rest of your life, even long when Tom Brady's dead. We're all going to remember Tom Brady. He's going to be larger than life. He's a legend. You're 45. Walk away, dude. If Giselle's giving you, if that's true, if Giselle's giving you another chance to save your marriage, this has got to be it for Tom Brady.
Especially when you consider, I mean,
she's giving you another chance. She's basically holding the boombox up saying, baby, come back. Just give up football.
You know, let's just say Brady lives till 90 years old. That's another 45 years, right? Are you really going to risk 45 years of being on your own or, you know, being divorced
for like
one or 2 years more football? I get what you're saying.
I think Brady would be a pretty hot bachelor.
No, I'm not saying, you know, no one would be interested in him. I'm saying
like, Kraft just got married. The dude's like 90 or whatever.
Fine. Fair. But this is his, in theory.
He got married to a 47-year-old.
First love in terms of actually marrying someone.
My bad. Robert Kraft's 81. My apologies, Mr. Kraft.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? Just, you know, it's not. My point is this. You have so much life still left to live. Why risk your happiness and your family for like 1 or 2 years extra football when you still have, again, a good 40 plus years of living to do once you're done playing football?
So I'm 100% in agreement with you. But Brady clearly loves football. And maybe Giselle demanding him to quit makes him not love Giselle anymore. Maybe that's just the truth of the situation. Like, I'm sure he'll always love his kids. It's his kids. You know, no one's debating that. And I'm not even saying that it makes his full love go away for Giselle, but part of him is just really like eating at him saying, man, she wants me to give up football and I'm just not ready to give it up yet. He knew football well before he knew Giselle, but at this point, you're exactly right. You're 45. You've done everything you can to the game. No one could say an actual negative word about you unless if you're just a jealous hater. If this was my marriage or football, like if this was him at 35, different. But now, when you're already bigger than life, you're 45, you won 7 rings, you've done everything that there is, I would prioritize my marriage if it means retiring at the end of the year and my kids not having to go through a divorce over playing another year or two, whatever it is, of football. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Shelby Harris from the Seattle Seahawks will join us next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The Seattle Seahawks are sitting at top of the NFC West through the first 7 weeks of the season with the record of 4-3. They have back-to-back wins against the Cardinals and Chargers. And this weekend at home, they do host the New York Football Giants, who are off to a red-hot start at 6-1. Let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in a defensive end for the Seattle Seahawks in Shelby Harris, kind enough to connect with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Shelby, appreciate the time. How you been?
I've been doing real good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Your defense really performed in the last 2 weeks. What did you guys show up against not only the Cardinals but also the Chargers with the effort that you guys gave against two good offenses?
Man, pretty much it's just, you know, what we showed the first couple of weeks really was is not who we are in total. You know, we pretty much, you know, we're a bunch of, like, to fly around, tries to cause havoc, you know, make turnovers and just try to make plays. And you know, what you've seen the last couple of weeks is really trying to cut down on the big play, and which I feel like we've done a really good job of.
What do you think this defense can be now since you guys are comfortable and in a groove 7 weeks into the season?
Man, you're just going to keep seeing a steady progression of us getting better and better and better. You know, it's just obviously it's a new scheme, and you know, and we're all working through it together. You know, it's a bunch of players on this defense have never played together. So, you know, we're also in the middle of still learning each other too. So, you know, it's a process to this. But then also that's why you're starting to see the improvements, you know, slowly but surely.
For you personally, and you're a veteran, you've been around a long time, you know the business of this game. What has this transition been like for you individually after being in Denver for all those years and now having a new environment in Seattle?
It's been really easy for me. Really, like, for me and my family, it's been real cool. It's been easy, you know, just, you know, when you have a veteran coaching staff, you know, you have a guy like Pete and you have people that have been around. And you know, even in my position group, you know, we have a couple of veteran guys. It's just, it makes it easier for the transition because, you know, everybody's been there and it's all about, you know, how are we going to just assimilate you and make this as easy as possible for you to fit in. And this place is great. You know, it just has been, you know, they really let you be yourself and they accept you for who you are. And so, you know, that's always what you've always heard about Seattle, you know, coming into it, and it's definitely lived up to it.
I know there's always motivation in the NFL, but everyone was counting out the Seahawks before the start of the season with all the moves that happened in the offseason. It seems like this team is extra motivated. Do you sense that in that locker room, this a little bit extra personal this year?
Man, well, you have to make it because at the end of the day, like you said, before the season started, everyone pretty much was trying to say that we'd be garbage, that we wouldn't you know, stand a chance against anybody in this league. We're finished dead last in the division. You know, so it's you know, that's a shot at everybody on this roster. They're obviously saying that nobody's good enough, you know, and that we obviously need to make big drastic changes in order to be successful. And so everybody should take that personal and go out there every week and, you know, do our best to show everybody that they're wrong. You know, this is nobody. We're competitors at the end of the day. This is why we're here. We're all here trying to be the best. And so you take shots at us like that. Of course, you gotta. You know, your pride has to come in at some point. We got to go out there and fight. And you see the whole team, you know, it's just, it's crazy the amount of hate that we got before the season. And now everyone's kind of starting to realize, you know, what somebody be dealt with.
When did you realize, being a new guy walking into that locker room, that this team could be better than what the national perception was of your squad?
Man, just from, I'm talking about just from camp, just from us, you know, working together, and just from, you know, just for me, like, because obviously for me, I haven't really played with a lot of people on this defense. And so for me, what I really realized is just during camp, you know, when you're watching, you know, individual guys and you watch it as a collective, you know, you see the moments where the defense and, you know, everyone can be great. And it's just a more of a, you know, being more acquainted with each other.
So this isn't surprising to you, this team being at 4-3 sitting on top of the NFC West?
I'll tell you this. You don't make it in this league doubting yourself or your team. You know what I mean? You won't make it very far in this league. You know, at the end of the day, I go into every game, I go into every season expecting to win every game until we lose one. And I feel like that's the mindset you have to have as a pro or you won't make it in this league.
So with that being said, how good do you think this team could be this year, Shelby Harris?
Well, what? We're 4-3 right now. We got 10 games left, so that means 14-3. You know, until you prove me wrong, I'm assuming we win every game.
I love the way that you guys set the tone, Shelby Harris, when the season started. Because, once again, no one was giving you a shot against Denver. And that really felt like that was a tone setter for you guys in game number one with the performance you had.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, it's another example of, you know, everyone counting us out before they even saw what we could bring on the field. You know, I mean, nobody even saw this group really play, and they were always like, oh, they're going to lose, they're going to lose. And that's the thing. We get paid, too. Everyone gets paid, too. You cannot ever downplay your opponent or anybody, because no matter if you feel like they're not as talented or not, because at the end of the day, it's the National Football League. Everybody gets paid. You know, they got here for a reason, and so you got to respect your opponent. And the minute you don't respect your opponent, the minute you start getting beat in this league.
I know you know a lot of people in that Broncos locker room, but since they traded you in that Russell Wilson deal, do you take a little extra satisfaction knowing that that team's struggling right now?
Man, honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't. Nothing the Broncos do really matters to me. You know, I'm a Seattle Seahawk. You know, and at the end of the day, it's not like we're in the same division, not even the same conference. And so for me, it really doesn't matter, because as long as I'm here, you know, I hope they lose so that that draft pick keeps getting better and better and better.
I love that. Shelby Harris here with us. What has Geno Smith showed you? What does he prove this year?
Man, you know, Geno really just proven what he's always done. It's just the fact that he just always has needed a chance. You know what I mean? Like, when you're always brought in as a veteran backup and, you know, you're just expected to go out there and give me, you know, a couple plays here, maybe a game here, a game there, it's going to really be hard to see much. But when you see, when you give him the keys to the kingdom and kind of just let him play his game, this is who he is. And so you're seeing a confident Geno. You're seeing somebody out there that's, you know he's one of the better quarterbacks in this league, and he can go out there and make plays.
You know what it's like to be a rookie in that transition. There's a lot of high expectations for Kenneth Walker. He's been really unbelievable the last 3 weeks, Shelby Harris.
Man, he's been special. Just the way he's, you know, as kind of assimilated to the NFL game and kind of just how he took off, you know, after Penny got hurt. It's just, obviously nobody likes to see injuries. It's a part of the game. But, you know, for a rookie running back to come in and not miss a beat, you know, that's very rare. And, you know, his game is difficult for anybody to learn, especially, you know, rookies. But, you know, not just him, but our whole rookie class, for everything that they've been doing, has been truly special.
Shelby Harris here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show from the Seahawks. They're 4-3. They have the Giants this weekend. The Giants are 6-1 going to Seattle. How do you guys try to slow down Saquon Barkley? Because he's on the path to being the comeback player of the year in the NFL this season.
Man, we got to get him stopped before he even gets started. You know what I mean? And that's the thing about Saquon. Like, once he gets a full head of steam and he starts jump cutting and going crazy, it's already hard to stop him. So, you know, the whole thing, you just got to stop him before he even gets started and, you know, get penetration and try to get him down early.
What's your view on Daniel Jones, their quarterback, who's also having a redemption season?
You know, he's having a good season. Kind of reminds me of the Jared Goff season with the Rams when I was 18 and 19. But he's being decisive. He's making his reads. He's using his legs to extend plays and to extend drives. And, you know, they're doing it all. You know, running the ball. You know, they're throwing the ball when they need to. But like, they're a team that, you know, everything's set up off the run. And so, you know, we just got to go out there and try to stop the run.
I know that it's now the norm to have a dual threat quarterback. He put up over 100 rushing yards last week. How do you prepare for that dual threat ability, like you were talking about?
You know, luckily, for us, we've played, you know, mobile quarterbacks. You know, we've played Russ, you know, we've played Kyler, we've had Justin Herbert. So, you know, we just have to rush smart, you know what I mean? And then, on the plays where he gets out on quarterback scrambles, we got to rush together as a team and work together and keep him in the pocket. And then on those designed quarterback runs, we got to rally to the ball and lay hits on them, and so that they get out of that quarterback run stuff.
This Seahawks team, Shelby Harris, it feels like it's a lot of fun and a great environment to be a part of. You've been in this league since 2014. Is this the most fun that you've had in the NFL so far?
Yeah, it's just, you know, this Seahawks team is different, man. But I feel like it goes with the city. You know, it's just like, for me, you know, the Sundays, like, in Seattle has been the loudest I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Just like that, like the fans, everyone's just so optimistic and they're really feeling it. And then that's the same thing with the team, though. You know, just the energy throughout the team and just throughout the hallways, it's contagious, man. Like, it's truly contagious. And that's the thing. Once you get that confidence ball rolling, who knows where it'll take you.
Well, it's been a heck of a story this year. You guys are having a great season. Appreciate the time and good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you.
Love that conversation right there with Shelby Harris from the Seahawks, and what a story. They have been exceeding all expectations through the first 7 weeks of the season. And Marco, just like we all drew it up, right? Seahawks above 500, Giants above 500, the only above 500 matchup this weekend.
I mean, it makes sense. The Giants were a juggernaut coming in. And who didn't believe in Geno Smith? I mean, you know, it was pretty obvious to see this in August. I'm pretty sure the word that I used for the Seahawks going into the year with Geno Smith as their quarterback was malpractice. And you know what?
And you're not
I stand
wrong.
By it. I stand by it because I still feel like that's a pumpkin that's waiting to get burst. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that division stinks right
oh,
now.
Oh, I'm aware. I don't see the Seahawks being able to do this for this year. Look, Geno Smith, it's not one of those guys where Daniel Jones, I can get it. Like, you're a young guy. You went through a lot of different things. Maybe you found it. Maybe it's coming there and it's coaching, bringing it up. Geno Smith has been through everything. He's been all over the world. Now, all of a sudden,
he knows the time zones.
I don't buy it. Like, I feel like he's still the same guy that we saw for the last 10 years, basically. He's going to make the mistake in a crucial spot. I give him credit for how well he's played.
Hasn't done it yet, though. It's crazy.
I know. He's been great all year. It's coming. I hate to say it. I'm sorry, but it's coming.
It does feel like you just wonder when it's going to just pop this balloon. Now, Metcalf and Lockett have been really good, and we'll see if Metcalf plays this week with the injury. Defensively, the last 2 weeks, they're finding their stride, holding Kyler Murray to what I think it was 9 points, and then you saw what they did up against Justin Herbert as well. So maybe the defense started trending in the right direction. But really, if they're going to win games, it's going to have to be because of Kenneth Walker. And the last 3 weeks,
right. The
running back has been great, and he's starting to find his rhythm ever since Rashad Penny's done for the
year. Yeah, and again, there's some talent.
Get the limit, Geno.
Right, there's talent.
Not let Geno cook, okay?
Right, because there's some talent on the Seahawks. We knew that. Yeah. There was pieces that they were starting to build over the last couple of years, so you see that. I just still don't believe in a big spot that you can win consistently with Geno Smith as your quarterback. You got to go through the whole year before you even start to get a modicum of belief out of me. I can't.
Now,
I totally
agree with what you're saying. But in a year like this, where you may only need 8-9 wins to get into the playoffs, and you're already sitting at 4, 7 weeks into the season, if they could go walk out this week and get a victory against the Giants and get to 5, I'm not saying you got to be great. And I'm not saying then that I'm picking the Seahawks to go in multiple playoff games.
I get it.
But it's not crazy.
It's not. But at the same time, I mean, I still don't believe they will have more wins than the 49ers or the Rams.
Which is fair.
I still feel like they'll finish third. And in the NFC, as weak as it is, there's enough teams there battling for wild card spots. They're not going to get one of those. They have to win the division
in my
mind.
Well, because the Cowboys and the Giants, I feel like they are going to make the playoffs this year with the starts that they're out.
There's enough teams in the NFC where wild card is going to be a difficult proposition for the Seahawks. So their division, which is weak right now, is probably your best bet. I still don't believe they're better than the Niners or the Rams, so I feel like they'll finish third.
Next 5 years, would you rather be the Seahawks right now or would you rather be the Broncos?
Wait, next 5 years?
For the next 5 years. And let me just operate. Now you have to find the quarterback, but I'm kind of aligned with you that Geno's not going to be the next quarterback for the next 5 years, and you have that Broncos pick, and it's trending in your favor. You have another first-round pick of your own. You would think they're drafting a quarterback in the first round.
You would think they're much better situation. The hesitancy is because I still don't believe Russell Wilson is cooked. I think there's still talent there. I think that there's still something they can unlock.
Which is a little bit surprising because you were one of the first people that said, eventually we got to start knocking Russell Wilson and just stop blaming the head coach.
Oh, no. I blame him, but I don't think he's done. I think he's having a bad year, and I think he's playing hero ball, and I think at some point someone has got to get in his ear. Now, this is the thing that I'm a little concerned with. Can someone he trusts, does he trust anyone, that'll actually stand up to him and say, stop playing hero ball, stop worrying about all this other nonsense, be inside the system, get points, start running the offense properly. Because I think if he does that, he's still got all the talent. He can extend plays. He's got a good arm. He can throw the good deep ball. He knows all the different things. He just, for some reason, won't take the 8-yard gain on first down.
We're not even looking the other side of the
field. He's looking for the big play all the time. Again, stop playing hero ball. Play football. You go back to that Russell Wilson, you're good. Still a really good player. I don't know if they're in the right situation because I don't think Nathaniel Hackett could tell him that, and I don't know if anybody in his inner circle can tell him that.
No.
So that's my concern with will he get it back.
The one guy that is out there that could possibly tell him that is Sean Payton. Now, with that being said, I don't think Sean would take that Broncos job right now. I think there'll be better jobs open this offseason for Sean.
There could be, yeah. I mean, again, we keep pointing at the Charger job. I mean, if that's there, it's perfect for Sean Payton. It's perfect for him.
Broncos now, country.
Now the,
screwed.
Now, the Broncos job, I'll say, though, Denver is a good job. I mean, I don't know the owners. Obviously, nobody does.
Yeah.
Brand new owners. But you figure they got a lot of money. If they're going to leave out of the way, yeah, that's still a good it's still a good destination. It's great fan base. It's a place where you can win. Can you talk to, again, there's talent there with Russell Wilson. You just got to get him to buy into a system. And I don't know if he's too far gone. Talent is still there, though.
For the next 5 years, and obviously I don't know who the quarterback's going to be in Seattle. I actually think with all the draft picks that they have that Seattle
may be
a better destination right now than the Broncos. Because I have that fear with Russ that, I don't know, maybe he could start to get it back in the right direction. But I don't know if he's ever going to be great. I don't know if he's ever going to be elite. And all that noise that was said about him when they were winning, that it was mainly the defense, it was Marshawn, it was Pete Carroll. Don't get me wrong, Russell Wilson played well. He played really well. But when you have to be the guy, as Charles Barkley would say, sometimes you're a bus driver, sometimes you're the passenger.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's it. I really think that he for some reason in his mind, he wants to be the guy on every play.
He wants to be the star off the field.
And that doesn't need to be. Stop worrying about your brand. You know, just play the game the way it's supposed to be played. It doesn't matter if you make the play every play. You're going to make enough. It's okay.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. And the reason why I'm laughing is Marco is adjusting the screen right now, and I can only think of the scene from the movie Zoolander when he goes, "The information is in the computer," and he throws the computer down.
I almost threw the computer out the room. It was kind of stuck. I didn't realize my own strength, apparently.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Tampa Bay up 7-3 against the Baltimore Ravens. And on 4th-and-12, Brady incomplete. So this is going to lead to a field goal attempt to try to extend the Tampa Bay lead from 7-3 to 10-3. Brady, earlier in this game, he had a wide open Mike Evans, which it's kind of funny. Last week, Mike Evans was wide open. Brady hit him right in the hands, and it would have been, a 70-yard touchdown, something like that, and Evans dropped the football. This week, Evans is wide open. Brady overthrew him so poorly. Like, that ball was so high, and Evans was wide open, what probably would have been a 10- to 15-yard touchdown pass at most. The kick by Suckup is good, so that is now 10-3. The Buccaneers up on the Ravens. Now, Ryan, the Ravens got a gift in this game because you had two players for the Bucs run into one another on a punt return. They got the ball inside the 20, and all they could do was settle for three. And recently, that Ravens red zone, the last few times they've been in the red zone, has been struggling for them.
And it popped up yet again, where especially even with the Bucks offense struggling, you got to kind of try to put this Bucks offense away early. They had an opportunity, first drive of the game, couldn't do so.
Yeah, you got to dig Tampa Bay into a hole, because then they're going to have to throw the ball more vertically, and that offensive line just can't get Brady any time. What you've been seeing this entire game is kind of classic, quick screen game. It seems as if every play, but maybe like two for Tampa so far, has been slant route, hit, or screen pass, go. It seems as if they're relying on Yak tonight against a very porous secondary for the Baltimore Ravens to really generate their success. The fact that they get to play right now with the lead at 10-3, they're going to be able to continue to do that until Baltimore not only ties up the game, but then takes the lead, and we'll see if Baltimore can do that tonight.
And with their propensity to blow leads in the fourth quarter, you may be able to do that all game long. They'll give it to you.
Maybe Baltimore doesn't want to play with a lead. Maybe they want to just get this to the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go and have it a four-point game and the ball in Lamar's hands.
Maybe John Harbaugh got into Lamar's ear. Let's not score here on the first single. Let's just settle for three.
Let's tank the first three quarters of the game.
We are the worst team in the world with a lead, so we're not going to do that. That's a good call by you.
So we just had Shelby Harris on from the Seattle Seahawks. Whether you believe or don't believe in the Seahawks so far, they are 4-3, and they are believing in their coach, in Pete Carroll, as that was made evident to us by one Shelby Harris. The Giants this weekend, Seahawks and Giants, just going around teams that are really believing in their coach right now. The Giants are also another team where their talent is not all that good. Other than, Saquon Barkley and some pieces on the line that are banged up now, and Kayvon Thibodeau, this is not a really talented roster where you could even say that they should be 500, like let alone 6-1 where the Giants are. But the belief after that, the messy times of Joe Judge, who was a fake tough guy, Pat Shurmur, who was not qualified for the job, McAdoo, whose suit was 10 times too big and he should have got his suit fitted, and you can never trust a guy that doesn't have his suit fitted properly. Now just having a competent voice. Like, I don't know how good Daboll's going to be, but so far he's been great. But just having someone that knows how to conduct himself, you're seeing the wonders that it does on the early returns of the New York Giants.
It's we talked about before, like the players have not changed. Like this is a very similar roster this year compared to last year, and you were already seeing the massive, massive difference from one year to the next. It's very simple.
Just look at the entire staff. Kafka's been great, and then Wink Martindale has also been great as well.
Wink's been great.
Other teams that are believing in their coach that may not have all the talent in the world or be the most well-rounded team that are just finding a way to get the job done. I also got to say the Jets. Now, the Jets have a lot of young talent. Like, you look at the Jets and the Giants, the Jets have more young talent than the Giants. But Robert Saleh earlier in the year said, I'm taking receipts. And I'm like, what the heck is this guy talking about? How about you win some games first? And now the Jets are sitting at 5-2. This is a big test this weekend for the Jets, because you're getting a weak Patriot team coming on in to MetLife Stadium. Mac Jones is now going to be the starter again. They don't have any real talent around Mac Jones on the offense side of the ball. The Patriots defense has been good at times, but they just got destroyed by Justin Fields. This is a game where Zach Wilson, you got to go perform, because he has not looked good since coming on back. Sauce Gardner's playing great defense. Garrett Wilson's a really good young player in this league. I know Breece Hall's now done for the year, but you have Michael Carter. James Robinson will play to some extent in this game, just getting traded over from the Jaguars. I know they lost Elijah Vera Tucker, which is a tough blow. But this is a game where, at most, the Patriots score three touchdowns at most. Like, you got to go put together some drives this week if you're Zach Wilson. And it doesn't matter how many points. You just got to win. Because if you lose this game, not that all the work that you put in early in the year just gets thrown out the window and you still be 5-3, you still be in an advantageous position, but it makes you look at the Jets differently of how good they could maybe take this year.
How nervous are you for this game as a Pats fan? You've owned the Jets for the most part.
Well, I'm not nervous at all here because I went into this year thinking that they weren't going to be a playoff team, the Patriots. And with how this has gone recently, I don't think they're a good team. So it's tough for me to get nervous because I don't have high expectations for them this year.
So would you be then more surprised if they win the game or lose the game?
You know what? It shows you how crazy this is. I never thought they were going to lose to the Bears. Never thought. And I said to Evan Roberts down the hall at the Fan, and he agreed with me, before the Bears games, I go, that could be a tough spot for you next week. And then they get blown out by the Bears. I'm like, all right, this team's just not that good. And they're not good. They're not going to be a playoff team this year. So before the year, I stand by it now. Now, as we sit on a Thursday, if you would ask me Tuesday, Wednesday, I would say Jets. I'm leading Pats now. I think they win a 17-16 game. That's what I'm feeling, like a 17-16 game.
I feel like this is a Belichick
game. It could go either way. They got embarrassed last week against the Bears. Other teams that are believing their coach, the Falcons, the Vikings, got another team or two?
I would say the Dolphins. I know it's tough because of the two injury, but when he's been out there, they're undefeated. And even the Texans have been playing hard, to Lovie Smith's credit. They don't win a lot, but they're playing hard.
Give you another coach. Now, this team has a ton of talent, but Nick Sirianni. You hear the way that they talk about Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, those players? We had Hassan Reddick on last week. They love, 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 love Nick Sirianni.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
find your perfect fall suit with Indochino. Customize every detail of their seasonal designs for a one-of-a-kind look at a great price. And get $50 off purchases of $399 or more at Indochino.com, promo code FALLUPDATE.